Welcome back to the newest episode of Feel Good Life. I'm Jennifer James, and I'm your host. Today, we're going to ride solo, and you're going to get to listen to some questions that folks on my social media channels sent in for me. It's kind of a mixed bag of things, but I'm excited to address some of these, and maybe they will spark some other questions from some of you. So I'm always anxious to hear what you want to hear about. So always feel free to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Feel Good Life, and shoot me some DMs so we'll know what we need to be talking about, focusing on, and what kind of guests we might need to get on here to address questions that you have. Anyway, let's get started. So some of these are pretty tough and some of them are pretty easy, so I'm going to mix it up. And the first one is, what part of farming still surprises you, even after all these years? So this was my 31st crop here in 2025. So I have been at this a little while, a minute or two. But one of the things that surprises me is that even though right now, you know, times are pretty tough in row crop farming. They're not pretty tough. They're definitely tough. Times are tough. Times are hard. When I thought back about how to answer this question, it surprises me that I can still find things that I love about farming and about my job and about the challenge. I think that's what I really love is the challenge. And I'm thankful that those moments show up because I know that when they don't show up any longer, that it might be time to move on to something else or to retire or adjust my priorities within the farm maybe. So, you know, just for instance, last week we were really busy here at Delta Soy taking in our Natto soybeans, and we had a lot full of trucks. They were lined up and backed up, and we were working hard to unload those trucks and get them moved through here. And just the excitement of our customers being here and figuring out, you know, which bins they're going to, which lines would be the shortest, how we can get those farmers out and unloaded and back to their fields quickest. It's like a logistical challenge that I'm always game for, and I just loved being busy and having our customers here. And so that's just a recent example, but always in the spring, as soon as the tractors roll out, you know, I get excited and just smell the soil. Excites me still. Harvest is the best. I think I had some reels on my story back during rice harvest where I left the office and I went to the field to ride on the combine, and there's just nothing better than riding on a combine. Even after all these years, it's so exciting. So it still surprises me that I'm that excited about it. And I think if you are farming, you have to have those fun times like that and where you get excited even though times are tough. All right, so moving on to the next question. When do you get time to read? Or when you get time to read or unwind, do you mix it up with books for fun or mostly stick with farm and business stuff? So I do read a lot of farm and business things, not necessarily books, but newsletters. So every day I make it a point to read them about the commodity market. I read about government policy and anything that might have happened in D.C. or Little Rock over the, you know, yesterday or overnight. And then some of the international things that are going on in agriculture, I always try to make sure that I'm caught up on those kinds of things. So, you know, just keeping up with that is a lot of reading. And I do read a lot of farm management books, human resource management books, tons of financial information about agriculture, whether that be from the Fed or banking organizations or the economists at the University of Arkansas. So I do read a lot of that kind of stuff. So when I try to get into the fun part, I typically have three books going all the time. And that is one via Audible. And so my Audible book right now is The Last in the Court of Thorns and Roses series by, is that Sarah Moss, I think. So I'm listening to the last one of those, finishing that up on Audible. On my Kindle right now, I have Camino Winds by John Grisham. And I've been really slow on that one for some reason. I haven't made it through that book on my Kindle, but I always keep that on my Kindle. So if I get stuck somewhere waiting, I've got a book I can pull up on my phone instead of scrolling. I try to read instead of scroll. And then I still love a good book in hand, like a hardback book. And I'm currently reading Listening to the Law by Amy Coney Barrett. I love biographies. And I listen to a lot of biographies, but I read a lot of biographies too. And I think that's a way to learn about from other people's experiences. So I had read Ruth Bader Ginsburg's book. And so that's why I chose the Amy Coney Barrett book to kind of get some balance there. But I've also listened to Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey, which highly recommend listening to him read his own book. I love listening to the author read their biographies. Recently, I've listened to Demi Moore, Sally Field, Ina Garten, Katie Couric, Megyn Kelly, Prince Harry's book. Anyway, I've listened to a lot of biographies. But yeah, besides that, I love adventure and mysteries. So I'm a big fan of the authors Jack Carr, James Patterson, Ruth Ware, Patricia Cornwell. Every now and then I'll read a romance, but mainly it's going to be adventure, mystery, suspense. And I like Jack Carr has a lot of military books too. So I read a lot of different things. And that kind of leads me into this next question that was, is there something completely outside of farming that you've always been curious to learn more about? So when I was looking up the different books for that other question, I realized that I read a ton of health and wellness books. And most recently, just because of the age that I am, I've read a lot of books about female health and well-being and fitness, nutrition. And so when I think about something else I've always been curious to learn more about, that is about staying healthy, eating nutritious foods that provide for our bodies, and movement. If you've followed me for long, you know that I have a strict morning routine that I try to stick to no matter what is going on, even when I'm super busy, which includes movement every morning, at least 30 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on the time of year when I have a little more time. But, and through reading some of these books, one of my favorites, which is a tough, tough read to get through, is Outlive by Peter Attia. And some of his recommendations for movement and like your VO2 max and things like that have really changed my workouts in the last year or so. And then folks like Dr. Stacy Sims, who researches women's health and fitness. And so a lot of her recommendations for women my age, I have implemented into my workout routine. And so I think if I wasn't farming, I probably still would be dealing with food, but it might be through a dietitian or a nutritionist or in the health and wellness field. So I really enjoy learning about that and trying to follow and implement things to lead a healthy life so I can live strong and long. Let's see what else we have. What's a moment on the farm that made you stop and think, this is why I do it? So that has probably changed over the years. When I was younger, it was more about learning and accomplishment, figuring things out, like what crops grow best in what fields, building a history and building good data and records for our management so that we can make very educated decisions quickly from the work that I've added into our farming operation. More recently, I would say that as my dad has allowed my husband and myself to be the primary, you know, decision makers in a lot of areas on our operation, that I've seen that transition. And I've started to realize that why I'm doing this now is to build a strong and healthy farming operation and business so that our son Dylan can take it over one day, and that he has learned from us the right tools and the right questions to ask and gain some experience. He can learn from any of our experiences over the years, and that's why I do this now, is to make sure that it can live through him into the future and that he has a good opportunity to continue farming. And, you know, the land here, one of the other questions to ask about land, I think it was, what have you learned from the land that you couldn't have learned from a book or an expert or someone else that could have taught you? So in my experience, the land that my family owns is was bought by my great-grandfather. And it was over 100 years ago. I think we're approaching around 130 years now in the family. And I have watched that land take care of my great-grandparents. It has provided a living for my grandparents. And my grandmother, on the Hare side, she had a disability that kept her from walking much of her later life. I don't remember her walking without a cane. So she was fairly disabled for most of her life, although she had a very positive attitude and moved and kept going as much as she could. She swam and did what she could do to stay active. But that farm provided her a living in a care facility when she got to the time where she had to have full-time care. And that was remarkable to me that the farm had the financial ability to take care of her. That was not a burden on her or anybody else in the family. And then the next generation, which it's taking care of now, it's providing income for my father and his brothers and sisters. And all this while, we've had a farming operation farming that land that it has provided for me and my family and my brother and his family and the many employees that we have. And so land itself can take care of you as long as you take care of it. It's not as liquid as cash. It doesn't feel like an investment sometimes. However, if you turn that land investment into cash, the cash can quickly go away. And I think by holding it in the land, it will be a longer term asset to provide for more people in my family and those families that work with us for a much longer time. So that's the importance of the land. And that's just from a financial standpoint. Of course, for farmers with longevity on a piece of land, there's a lot of emotional connection to it. And so that's why it makes it so hard when farmers do have to stop farming or, you know, may have to sell land, because there's not only that longevity and the witnessing of the land taking care of their family, but just the emotional attachment that you have to it because you have improved it and you have added to it and you have made it more productive and a better farm over the decades that your family and possibly yourself have added to that. So let's see here. What else do we have? What's a hard lesson that you learned this year that reaffirmed it won't always be easy? And so definitely in agriculture, in row crop agriculture, and having 31 crops under my belt, I've definitely seen that it goes in cycles, and that we have troughs and valleys, and then we have the peaks and the fun times. So this year definitely reaffirmed that agriculture is cyclical, but it also helped to reaffirm that we will get through this, that this trough will not last forever, and that the good times are hopefully on the way, and we just have to buckle down and stick with it, change the plan, keep learning, keep looking forward, keep pushing forward, and keep trying to do the very best that we can with the information we have and the resources we have to stay in business and keep producing food for the world. So definitely reaffirm that in 2025, that it is definitely cyclical. So this too shall pass, right? That's a great little saying. I need to hang that on the wall. This too shall pass. Okay, so one of the questions that came in was pretty deep, I think, but it's, as the year draws to a close, what gives you hope for our nation? And of course, I am big on the year-end stuff and like reassessing, looking back, and trying to figure out, you know, what you want to do going forward, what you want to take out of your life going forward and things like that, and trying to find the hope into the next year and to end a year. So this kind of goes right up my alley. I think actually this is a good friend of mine that I haven't seen in a long time, so she knows how much I look forward to a new year and renewal. But so hope for our nation it's pretty complex, and I think we have a lot of great things going on. I'm a very optimistic person just by nature, and I have a huge growth mindset and positive mindset. So I think the people around me that I have been with give me a lot of hope for our nation. Farmers are tough, resilient people. I have seen that resilience this season firsthand as I've gone to meetings and I've talked to my peers. I know that everyone is working hard, trying to make ends meet, trying to get through things. And I just think that we have to look at each other and promote each other and lift each other up and be positive and kind. And I think there is a lot of hope going forward for all of us. The American dream, I truly believe, still lives here. I think you can still find it. But I do think we have to quiet the noise that we sometimes get caught up in, or I know I can get caught up in for sure, and just bring it back to the simple things in life. And that brings me to one of these other questions, which I just love this one. It's, what is a small everyday moment that brought you joy this season? Well, it's harvest season, so that's kind of easy. But for me, joy is found in the simple things every day. And I have made a really big point in my life to try and be grateful for something every day. And I believe that we can all find at least one thing, probably several, that you can be grateful for every day, that you can be joyful for or about every day. So when I walk out to work out in the mornings, especially after the time changed, it was before sunset, it was as the sun was rising. And so a beautiful sunrise brings me joy. A beautiful sunset brings me joy. And it always makes me think about the day ahead or the day I have had, and to be grateful and thankful that hopefully I will see the sunrise tomorrow. So, you know, just the harvest season is joyful even in tough times, because it's the wrap up of the season. Agriculture is such a seasonal job, and I'm thankful for that because it displays the work of, you know, a higher power, a being greater than us that is at play in what we do every day. And that brings me joy and peace. So I think moving forward, we just had to keep looking for the silver linings, keep looking for the joy, keep looking for those small things that keep you going every day. And that will continue to bring hope into your heart as we move into the 2026 year. That's all the questions for today. So be sure and listen in a couple of weeks for my next episode. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And as always, I'm thankful that you're here listening and continue to be a part of Field Good Life. I'll see y'all in the field. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review so you stay in the loop. Let's keep telling the story.